Pacific Coast, Phil.
All right, welcome back. All right, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And very, very excited this hour. We're going to have along with us Dr. Jill. What is going on now? Why am I hearing that?
Phil, could you hold on for a minute?
Why am I hearing that?
Because you're all like you're talking over. I'll do it. Hold on. Kill the music.
What?
Phil, you started talking before the announcer had finished. There is a very clear slug that's used on your program. Phil Hendry. And now here's Phil Hendry, or whatever it is that he says. I don't know. I don't care. But you were talking over top of that man. That's when I cued Bud. That's when I said, Bud, drop it. And, well, not now, Bud.
Yeah. All right.
Not now, Bud.
Yeah.
Will you turn it off, Bud, please?
Turn it off, man. I said not now. Oh.
So because I jumped the cue, you want me to what?
Chill out. All right, Bud, drop it. All right. Snap the fingers. Let's do the intro again.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, and
that's beautiful. Keep going.
All right, Phil Hendry Show coming up this hour. We have
keep going.
Well, I can't because the music ended.
Bud, what is it with you?
That's how long it is. Go.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, and coming up this hour, we have Dr. Jim Sadler, who will talk to us about sadistic psychopaths who dismember people and... Why don't you guys give me something to read that's better than that?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't prep your show for you. If you had something... And maybe this is the problem. Kill it, Bud. I said to kill it, Bud. Maybe this is the problem with your program, because you have all of this abnormal behavior. You talk about abnormal people...
I have abnormal people sitting in co-hosting with me.
That was not necessary. That what a cheap, dirty...
Yeah, that, you know, Mr. Air, the cheap shot. You talk about me, too?
I'm joking around, God.
Oh, yeah, sure. Every time people say things they really mean, they get around it by saying, I'm joking around, oh, my God. Well, guess what? Mama's not buying that anymore. You think of me as a freak, don't you? Go ahead, say it.
No, I do not think of you as a freak.
If you're lying to me...
I swear to God, I don't think of you as a freak, Margaret. Will you knock it off with that, Bud?
Yeah, you gotta chill out, man.
Margaret, I don't really think of you as a freak, you know? I think of you as...
Well, now you're giving me the creeps. You sound like some sort of a heroin addict.
Well, I'm sorry they asked me to talk this way.
I think we have to try Dr. Sadler come on here, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you keep it playing?
Play for Dr. Sadler.
All right, well, Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us. I mean, anything to keep you guys happy, God knows. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us now from San Diego, California, as we talk tonight about the real side, if you will, of evil and Halloween, and very much the real side to all of this. And it was sort of, I guess, for the first time articulated in the stunning manner that it was in the movie Halloween, where we suddenly... brought together modern culture with this traditional fun festival of, you know, spooks and ghosts and goblins and evil. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us tonight. Doctor, how are you?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Dr. Sadler, am I right about that? Halloween, the first Halloween movie, was the first time that America blended its fears, its real fears rooted in the encroaching and ever-emerging criminality of the 70s. Having to do with serial killers, and we really didn't talk about serial killers to any great length the way we did in the 70s and the way we continue to talk about them today.
I think that's a fair reading. I think that what John Carpenter and the filmmakers after him, I think there was hints of that. There were hints of what we would call the disturbing aspect to these otherwise... fun movies. There's always been a disturbing aspect, but the blending of reality, as you say, was with the 70s. Last House on the Left is another film. And
yeah, that's a very good example. That was based on an Ingmar Bergman movie, correct?
Ingmar Bergman or Ingrid? Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Berger.
Ingrid?
Oh, that's a woman, right? Yeah, no, you're right. Well, who is Ingrid Bergman?
Ingrid Bergman was the actress.
Well, that was the one that made the movies, right?
No, that was a guy that made... Ingmar Bergman was the director. Ingrid Bergman was the one that was the actress, right, Margaret?
Yes, Ingrid Bergman was the one married the director, Rossellini. Her daughter is Isabella Rossellini.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah, now I know. Yes. Ingmar. I can't say it good.
Ingmar Bergman.
Ingmar Bergman. The I believe it was Virgin Spring or The Seventh Spring, some title like that. I forget that the film Last House on the Left is about. Now, Inger Stevens, who's she? See, that's what made me confused.
Inger Stevens is who?
I don't know. That's why when you said Ingmar Bergman, we were talking about the horror movies of the 70s.
Yeah, let's just forget about that. Okay, so the horror movies of the 70s. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Or did I bring it up?
I thought you brought it up, Doctor.
I might have, and in that case, I apologize. If I didn't bring it up, then I would ask you to apologize, but a little ridiculous.
Can we just get back to the point here that I'm talking about horror movies.
But it is bothering me about Inger Stevens.
You know what? It's not Inger, it's Ingrid Stevens.
Who's Ingrid Stevens? Excuse me for raising my voice.
Well, hey, bud. Go ahead, bud. Drop it. All right.
Wait a minute.
Dr. Sadler said to drop it.
Drop that. Dr. Sadler, if you don't mind, okay? I will control the elements of my radio show. I appreciate you looking out for me, but believe me, I'm...
It sounded to me like you were beginning to lose it. Ingrid Stevens made The Virgin Spring, or maybe he didn't. I don't.
Ingrid Stevens was a female, because I know the name Ingrid is a female, and I don't know anything about her, and I know that Ingmar Bergman was the director, and I don't know anything else about him, and I don't think we have to talk about that, okay?
All right, Phil, relax, will you? Jeez.
Phil, you really have to relax.
All right, well, let's get back to what we were talking about, which was the horror of the 70s, and, I guess the school of horror that it gave rise to.
Well, I think that is the point here. Now, yes, there were echoes, or I should say there were rumblings that were the beginnings of Disturbia, what I call Disturbia. They made a movie called Disturbia, by the way. But what I call Disturbo, and the Disturbo or Disturbia is the film that gives you, for want of a better term, it gives you the creeps because it is reflective of reality. You mentioned the film on air the other night, Phil, Eyes Without a Face. That is not really as scary a movie as it is. It's not really reflective of reality because in that film, we see a level of fantasy that goes beyond what we could accept as real, see?
Well, Halloween was the same way, wasn't it?
Halloween has, at the end of it, the sort of the ghost of Michael Myers. We become aware of this ghost because the Michael Myers character, we have some intimation that he will return, that he was not killed, perhaps he cannot be killed. There are some films, allegedly horror movies, that have none of that fantasy. And that, of course, is an example that you gave, The Bad Seed. It doesn't have the reality, or it has the reality that the Last House on the Left, or even Halloween, don't have.
Hold on. What's wrong?
Well, can I talk to you during the break?
Yeah, I'm on the air right now.
I'm sorry.
Am I interrupting?
No, Doc. Go ahead.
So when we talk about Halloween, or we talk about Last House on the Left, or we even talk about movies like I don't know. Let's talk about Dario Argento, who's a great director.
Argento.
I thought it was Argento.
No, it's Argento. Argento is a phenomenally successful and, gosh knows, talented filmmaker, a horror filmmaker from Italy.
He made Suspiria.
Yes.
He also made Demons, I think.
He did make Demons.
And then I think his son got involved, and I know his son because I bought a Lamborghini from the same dealer that sold him his Lamborghini.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here, Dr. Jim Sadler.
All right, well, just so you know, I'd like to return because I want to get into the logistics and the legends of a lot of these things.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Jim Sadler here. Put him on hold, bud.
But
put him on hold, bud. Thank you. What's up?
I can't stand it anymore.
All right, well, we'll talk during the break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Oh, hold on, Dr. Sadler, okay?
The yeah. Phil Hendry
I'm
Show.
I'm going to have a glass of lemonade.
Of Fleminade?
Lemonade.
Station.
I don't like clam. I told my wife I don't like clam, and I told her I don't like the clam.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler and discussing where reality and where horror meet. And in our culture, with films particularly, and probably most notably, we've seen the blending more and more of the horror of fantasy, which came down through the many years, through the many decades and centuries, really, from all kinds of legend, whether it be the vampire or the reanimated monster, things like that. And then we have real life, where we have the psychopathic killers, we have serial killers, we have this kind of mayhem, and where those two began to blend. So you're talking about the 70s.
Right, right, Phil. And you brought up a couple of good examples. I think that the first to really break out was Halloween and Last House on the Left. Again, it predates those days to some of the earlier movies, you know.
And of course, when we talk about fantasy, we talk about the blending of reality with horror. I mentioned The Bad Seed. That's reality. But then you have films that are fantasy, like The Hills Have Eyes, or...
The Bad Seed was... and The Hills Have Eyes. I would not call either one of those horror. The Hills Have Eyes...
Do you need some water?
Yeah, let me have some. I'm gonna drink some lemonade. Get some lemonade. What? Lime juice? Yeah, lime juice is good, but lemonade is good too.
Oh God!
I'm sorry.
Nothing. Everything's good.
All right, but if you look at a movie like The Hills Have Eyes, and you look at a movie like The Bad Seed, those are two movies that are based in that's a reality. Is that what you meant to say?
The Hills Have... I can see The Bad Seed. The Hills Have Eyes?
The Hills Have Eyes. I don't see anything. What do you see in that movie that's fantasy? I don't understand.
What are you talking about? Mutant coming out of here?
Excuse me, Dr. Sadler. The Hills Have Eyes has a pack of mutants attacking a family.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but that's something that I personally have experienced. I know others. I mean, what are you saying?
What do you mean you've experienced it?
What I'm trying to tell you is that's a reality. Give me some more lemonade lime juice, please. No, I don't want any liquor, not yet. So, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
I don't think that we're understanding. You're saying that The Hills Have Eyes... When we're talking about horror, okay...
When you talk about a horror movie, you're talking about a movie that has a element, as you very well said, Phil, an element of fantasy... or phantasm. When you're talking about science fiction, you're talking about a movie that has an element of fiction to the science that they're presenting. But if you're talking about a movie like, for instance, The Silence of the Clams,
I'm sorry, The Silence of the Clams?
Yes, he said.
No, I didn't say The Silence of the Clams. I said The Silence of Clams.
The Silence of the Lambs.
Well, then why don't you say lambs, all right?
Who's she talking to?
Margaret,
Who's she talking to?
No one. She's talking to me.
No, she's not. Are you talking to me?
Well, Dr. Sadler...
I'm talking about the movie The Silence of the Clams.
Yes, The Silence of the Clams. I'm going to go to the toilet.
She's going to the where?
She's got to go to the toilet. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hold on for a minute. Dr. Sadler, I have to take a bowel movement.
Oh, my God. Was that the woman...
Margaret, why did you do that?
To let him know that I... Never mind.
Oh, my God. I've never been spoken to before like that ever in the history of my life. To someone to talk to me like that.
All right, Dr. Sadler, you have a bit of that Pennsylvania, New Jersey accent. You swallow your L a little bit.
Oh, of course. All of us from that region of the country swallow our L's. So what? Is she trying to tell me that I sound like a retard? Because I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, I've addressed conventions loaded down with people. I mean, they line up to hear me speak.
Well, I'll bet they do.
I thought I heard some laughter.
No. I was sneezing. Or, Bud, you were sneezing, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. I sneezed.
You sneezed it. Anyway, Phil, as I was saying... The Silence of the Lambs The Bad Seed, these are films that are rooted in reality. But if you are talking about and The Hills Have Eyes, okay, that's another one that's rooted. But if you talk and The Bad Seed. But if you're talking about Fantastic.
So I just want to be clear. The Hills Have Eyes are rooted in reality.
Are? You mean is?
Yeah, I'm sorry, is.
You're talking about, why'd you say are?
I guess The Hills Have Eyes. I was thinking about the eyes in the hill.
In the hill?
In the hills. The eyes in the hills. I pluralized. They are, and I should have said it.
Right. But, you know, it scared me because I and my family live that. We live that reality once. Where we were out on a camping trip, Phil, when I was a boy of 15, and I can tell you that mutants crept into our campsite. Excuse me, I'm gagging a bit thinking about it. Mutants crept into our campsite and terrorized us. And it was only after we were able to get them out of the campsite, and I can tell you I've never been more frightened before in my life. You know, and
what? How did you get rid of them?
Well, they wanted kerosene for their barbecue. And
what are you talking about? They wanted kerosene.
Wait, what do you mean a hill have I?
What was that? Was a fascinating mutant. Who was that?
That's Bud Dickman. What do you mean they wanted kerosene?
It was these mutants.
Were they just a family that pulled in next to you?
Oh, sure. That's what you call them. But,
all right, Dr. Sadler, I guess, you know, you're going to believe what you're going to believe, but I want to get on more with something more substantial here as we talk about The Hills Have Eyes. The mutants crept into your campsite, huh?
Yeah, they were people from no kerosene. They were standing over. They looked like mutants to me, although I did wind up dating their daughter. And I thought about marrying her. So she wouldn't marry me because I had a speech impediment. So
all right, thanks a lot, Doc.
What do you mean, thanks a lot? Are you getting rid of me? Just because, you know, your problem is, you know, you can't laugh at yourself. You, those people that don't know how to laugh at them.
Is he gone?
Yes, he's gone. God, what are you hiding from?
I'm not going to sit here and listen to that tell me that I'm mispronouncing Silence of the Lambs.
No, he says Silence of the Clams. I looked it up.
No, you didn't look up anything.
No, I mean it's Silence of the Lamb.
Both Silence of the Lamb, Silence of the Lambs.
Never in my life have I had an interview like that where we can't even get the names of things straight. And meanwhile, this guy's telling me that The Hills Have Eyes. Oh, well, that's based in reality. My family and I, we went up against that once. They wanted to borrow kerosene.
Well, he must be very prejudiced against rural people or something.
I don't know who he was talking about. Just some people that scared him and his family. He wound up dating their daughter, but she wouldn't marry him because he had a speech impediment. Oh, man.
Young man, you're laughing about a guy having a speech impediment.
I'm laughing at him, man. I'm laughing at Dr. Sadler, the freak. All right, guys, that was very interesting. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We got to dig into some news. I want to mention also our website, philhenryshow.com, is the place to go to get our video cast, which we are on the air right now. You know, this is our video cast. We are now Apple-friendly, so you can get our video on demand. You can watch the video cast of every night's show on your iPad, on your iPhone, as well as your Droid. We are compatible with all of those, and we are not too far away from delivering live streaming to your Apple product as well. But we do want to mention to you that on demand, on your iPhone, on your iPad, on your mobile device, the Phil Henry Show on demand is now mobile. So if you're sitting having breakfast, if you're having lunch, if staying up late at night is, you know, a little much, have no fear. Go ahead and check out your iPhone and watch us any time of the day or night. And you can check it out from wherever you are, man, in the subway, in your car, while you're driving. You can be driving and...
Phil, don't encourage them.
I'm kidding. Don't use your cell phone. If you're driving, don't use your cell phone in your car. You can use a handheld device if you're not the driver, right?
I don't know. I don't think you can.
No.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, I wouldn't.
If I'm sitting and I'm not driving and I'm holding the cop's going to pull you over?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Well, guys, I think that's a load of horse dung. Go ahead and use it if you're not driving. We'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you learn how to laugh at yourself and go see Silence of the Lambs?
Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler, for joining us. So the guy swallows his L's. I don't know what you want me to say.
I don't care. For that man to talk to me the way he did.
Well, he wasn't talking to you. He just simply was saying that he was saying stuff that we didn't understand. He's swallowing his L's. That's a feature that I don't know if even the people that swallow their L's. I think Dr. Sadler is, I think he's one of the rare people that actually knows that he swallows his L's.
What are you talking about, swallow L's? Doug Gates talking weird.
It's swallowing of the L. It's like clams, like that. They say that. That's a. It's a common thing among people in certain parts of the country. I don't know whether it has to do with what. What does it have to do with?
Probably like the Germans or something. What do you mean, German? Like when the Germans came over here.
Germans came here.
Yes, when they immigrated here, not the Nazis.
Oh. I'm not talking about Nazis, man. I'm talking about like a German come here, and they made the English sound funny.
The Germans made the English sound funny. You know, I often wonder, because you can actually read up on this, what made, for instance, what is it that informed the Appalachian accent? Was it the English? Was it the Welsh? Every time I'm reading about the history of the United States, there's one nationality that pops up a lot, and it's the Welsh. I always see the Dutch and I see Germans, but I always see these little things. And then, of course, the Welsh people migrated here.
Well, what did they talk like?
They're probably the ones that swallowed their L's.
Why do you say that?
Just to stand to reason, because everybody else talks normal. I never even heard of them.
You've never heard of the Welsh from Wales?
Get out of here.
No, that's a real place.
Where is it?
In England.
Really?
Yes, what are you telling me, really? What, do they make it up or something?
I never heard about it.
Well, you've never heard of... Have you ever heard of Ireland?
Yeah.
Well, there's one. Score one for Bud.
Bud, Wales is part of the island of England. You know how they got England there and Scotland?
Where's that?
That's on the same island, man. What do you mean, where's that?
I don't know, man. People say about England...
Man, look, if you got it here, I'll draw it. See that blob that I just draw there?
Yeah. That looks like America.
What do you mean it look like America?
You got a Florida there.
No, man. This is supposed to be England. Just forget about what it's shaped like, okay?
All right.
Now, that blob there, that's England, right?
Okay. Where's Ireland?
That island right here.
Ireland's an island off to the side of it there.
That's Ireland.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Hold just the phone here. Do you realize that what we're doing here, that this guy, Bud, he represents a lot of people?
Well, what do you mean he doesn't represent me?
No, I know that, but he represents a lot of people in their ignorance of geography. This is exactly the kind of conversation that people have with people. Educated people. People with brains. People with IQs. And they can't find Ireland, England, America. They wouldn't be able to find... They wouldn't find America, man, if you let them use both hands and the map was about the size of a postcard. They wouldn't be able to find it.
That right there is Ireland.
That blob. That's not Ireland, though.
It's a freaking drawing, okay?
Yeah, now right over here, that's Wales.
What?
That out of Wales?
Where you put that right there, that looks like Norway.
That's Norway or Sweden.
I thought that was Wales.
That's not Wales, you idiot. Give me that. Wales is right there. It's part of this big blob that Robert drew called England. Up here is Scotland. There's Wales. There's England.
Oh, there's three of them.
There's three of them, yeah.
Then why do they call it England?
Because that's just the way they call it, man. They've come to call all of it England, but it's actually United Kingdom, if you want to call it that. Great Britain. Didn't you hear him say GB during the Olympics?
No, I heard the GD. Did everybody say GD?
They say GD, but they were saying GB.
Yeah, but GD is...
I know what GD is. We're not talking about it. GB is Great Britain. That Great Britain is that, and a little bit of that.
What do you mean a little bit of that?
Northern Ireland, okay? So, God, I'm out of breath from doing all of that.
Well, they ought to... I didn't make the countries up.
No, man, you didn't make the countries up. You got to learn out where they are.
You didn't know where they were. You thought that was Norway.
No, at least I know where England is.
All right, hold on. Pretty shocking, Robert. You're telling me that Wales is up where Sweden is. What the hell is that about?
That's what I thought it was, okay?
All right, well, you're wrong. That's Wales. Anyway, so the Welsh were supposedly a major immigration thing here in the United States of America and the whole thing, and, you know.
So they're the ones that made the Appalachian people sound like they want to have sex with a man? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Appalachian people, first of all, those were not Appalachian people, were they? They were mountain people in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't know. Those poor people will never live that down, man. All right, Romney resumes the campaign. Obama has been dealing with this storm. How you guys doing? Did that storm, it's, oh, God. Mitt Romney resumes a full campaign schedule in Florida after taking a break Tuesday to encourage storm donations to the Red Cross. Meanwhile, President Obama will spend another day focused on Sandy recovery efforts. And there's all kinds of reports in the news on that. The elections are looming, and the polls say that in some areas, President Obama holds a 1 or 2 point lead. In other areas, it looks as if, for instance, they're pulling, Romney, that is pulling very, very even. Here's an interesting story. With the politics being swept aside, both President Obama and Governor Christie are being credited with uniting over the devastation of Tropical Storm or Superstorm Sandy. The power of the image could not have been lost on a politician as savvy as Governor Christie of New Jersey. With days to go before a cliffhanger election, a Democratic president was given the handshake back pat to his Republican opponent's most aggressive campaigner as they prepared to embark on a tour of damage from a catastrophic storm. Before Sandy hit, Christie, a Republican, had been scheduled to campaign for Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, but he embraced the moment when President Obama praised the governor Wednesday after they finished their tour of storm-ravaged New Jersey. "I want to let you know your governor is working overtime." That's what President Obama said of Governor Christie. The two were soon seen swapping compliments. "It's been a great working relationship," Christie said. "I cannot thank the president enough for his personal concern and compassion for our state," he added during a news conference. Now, only last week, Christie dismissed the president as clutching for the light switch of leadership. But there he was, standing with President Obama and complimenting him in the warmest of ways. I got to tell you, though, I wish I had some, you know.
Well, hold on. Don't just blow past that. That's very significant. That is Governor Christie having to eat crow.
Why you say that?
Because, just as Phil said, last week he was saying that Obama was clutching at the leadership, at the light switch of leadership.
Yes.
And now he's sucking you.
That's sucking anything. He's complimenting the man.
Exactly. And I want to know how Governor Christie and his Republican stooges will spin this one. And
Margaret, will you hold? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit the microphone. Would you hold on for a minute? Why does everything have to be such a moment of insult?
What do you mean?
The two men, the governor of a state, the president of a country, acting like we want them to act, you know, cooperating, talking like civilized human beings, like Americans. One guy's a Democrat, the other guy's a Republican, whatever. And they're saying, all right, let's get it, you know, we got people to help here. We got people whose homes have been destroyed. We got people that may be, you know, injured. Let's get it together. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I'd like to see more of it out of Governor Christie and the Republican stooges.
This is my problem here. Every single opportunity is an opportunity for insult.
Yeah, you should be say good things about Governor Christie.
Well, Bud, you're no better with you guys on the Republican side. You've been knocking Obama left and right.
Yeah, man, you talk about Obama like he's a bad president. There he is helping bail out people and everything like that.
He didn't do anything. It's the Congress of America that done it.
Wait a minute. In a situation like this, it's an executive action.
That's right.
Hold on. It's an executive action, which means President Obama doesn't have to go to the Congress for jack squat. He's the president. He is the head of the executive branch. There are certain monies that he is empowered to free up, especially in times of national emergency. And that's what you do as a president. The system of government we have is one in which, thank God, we have three branches. We have the executive, we have the judiciary, we have the legislative. They all act independent of each other, and each has its own powers, and each checks and balances the other. That's why I thought I was going to go crazy when I listened to what I thought were educated people, And it was back during the 2008 election, or maybe it was the midterms between 2004 and 2008. And I listened with absolute stunned, whatever the word would be.
Nudity.
Nudity?
But looking for a word.
No, it's not stunned. No, you were in stunned silence.
Yeah, stunned silence. As I heard these idiots say, you know, there's too many Democrats and there should be more Republicans. Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's checks and balances. I'd say, what are you talking about, checks and balances? Well, and then they would, when you finally explain to them what checks and balances is from the actual civics lesson, well, you know what I mean. I mean, balancing out, oh, no, I don't know what you mean, you moron. Go away. There's a lot of Democrats. There ain't enough Republicans because people are voting for Democrats and not for Republicans, okay? And you can't force people to vote for what they don't want to vote for. So if you call that checks and balances, I guess it ain't working. But that ain't checks and balances. Thank you very much. So it's been a great working relationship, he said. I can't thank the president enough, said Governor Christie. Only last week he was, saying he was clutching at the light switch of leadership. While the political odd couple bonded, the sun came out in the region, the stock exchange reopened, and the electricity crisis ebbed somewhat. But there are fatalities, and the number of fatalities did rise, and some areas were still coming to grips with the destruction of Sandy. In pockets of New Jersey in particular, the storm scope was becoming clear. I maintain it's impossible not to make political hay out of any situation. It's impossible. And people, even as they say, don't make this about politics, make it about politics.
What do you mean?
What I mean is we have fatalities here. And there will be people say, well, now let's not be political now. Come on. Well, but they will be. And the same thing with 9/11, they were. And the same thing with every other disaster. Don't be political. How dare you make it political? And even as they're saying, how dare you make it political, they're making it political because they're using that against their opponent. So just if you're going to say to somebody, don't make it political, and you want to prove to me that you yourself are not being political about it, then the only thing that would convince me is if you compliment that guy. You know, you shouldn't make that political because, Governor Christie, ordinarily I admire your, you know...
The buffet you have at the governor mansion.
Yeah. Oh, that's really funny.
Well, look at the guy.
All right. We'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show with more here on Not Making It Political, man. World famous Phil Henry Show and more to come. More guests to come. I guess Frank is going to be along here in a moment. And others. Oh, little Ian Anderson will be with us, too. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and of course, online at philhenryshow.com. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. You can check out those sites for our Phil Henry Show quote of the day. I didn't see the show quote today. What was it, bud?
Austin DeMarco, and I love animals so much I kill them.
What an asinine thing to say. Why would you have that as the quote of the day?
I thought it was very funny. You know?
Yeah, it's about being funny. I don't care what... Why?
Well, what do you mean about being funny? I don't like animals so much that I kill them.
No, I love animals so much I kill them.
Yeah. We had one from you.
I know, and I... You know my attorney has...
Yeah, your attorney's been in touch with us. You mean your husband, Frank? Yes, and I said to Frank, sorry, but it was quoted on our show. And Frank wasn't making a big deal out of it because he knew that legally you couldn't challenge that.
Well, I found that to be very offensive.
Margaret, you were on my show talking about the Greek guy making love to you. I didn't tell you to talk about that, okay?
I was talking about a lovely memory, and what do you quote from all of it? That ain't cucumber sauce.
That's what you said.
Yeah, you said it, because people would have thought...
Don't worry about what people would have thought, okay?
Well, it's true. It wasn't cucumber sauce.
Okay. 877-876-7445 and online with us now is Larry Grover. Larry joining us from Culver City, California. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Bill. Pleasure to be talking to you here on All Hallows Eve, huh? Happy Halloween, everybody.
Absolutely. And you're the first guy to wish us a happy Halloween. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, we had a couple of kids come to the door, and as I picked up your mantra, Phil, which is I got a bag of candy for kids and a loaded shotgun for the weirdos. And
well, that's I was kind of joking about that, you know.
No, I don't think. I think the two of you are perfect.
Who is that? Is that Ms. Gray? Margaret, how are you? I wish you a happy... I feel like you're the Scrooge of Halloween.
Perfect, yeah.
I am not a Scrooge. It just sounds to me like the two of you with a loaded shotgun. That makes sense.
No, Margaret, I was not serious about that. I said that, you know.
All right, so well, let's not worry about it. Let's talk. Well, anyway, happy Halloween to you, and I'm happy because I got my fill of the... I love the little tiny Snickers, you know? Do you like those?
I love them. Love them. Love those little tiny candy bars, no matter what they are.
Aren't they great? And we bought an abundance of the little teeny-weeny Snickers. And Mother has... how many more do you have, Mother?
Larry almost ate all of them. Hi, Phil.
How you doing, dear?
Okay. I didn't almost eat all of them. We still got a bag of the little teeny-weeny ones that I like, okay?
Watch how you say teeny-weeny.
You stop, Mother. Please. I mean, seriously.
Well, said teeny weeny.
Yes, I said teeny weeny, as in teeny weeny candy bar. Can you believe this?
All right, let me ask you about the election coming up. I just saw some numbers that show or purport to show that President Obama has a 1-point lead in Florida, a 5-point lead in Ohio, and a 2-point lead in Virginia. And they are calling this this most recent storm, this terrible storm that everyone's dealing with, and this is an example of what I'm talking about when they say don't politicize, and yet everybody does. They're saying that the hurricane or tropical storm Sandy slammed Romney's momentum.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Phil, and I don't want to make politics out of it, and that I won't, but the fact of the matter remains that when President Obama is on the center stage, he's on television, and he's seen every night, and he's seen every day, and all night and all of the day, you know, like that song that they used to do, forget the name of the group, but there was a song called All Night and All of the Day. And that's where Obama's been on television as he goes from, you know, these different communities and helping the people. And that's what he does. That's what a president's supposed to do. But you really, you know, I got to tell you something. This guy, and excuse me, I respect the office of the presidency, but he must have been born with a horseshoe up his, you know, to have this kind of luck. And
luck? What do you call that, luck? This has devastated people. It's destroyed the historic part of the boardwalk there in New Jersey. It has left people homeless. There are more and more fatalities. How do you call that luck?
Come on, Phil, let's talk straight here, okay? No, you're right. It's a terrible, terrible event. But for Obama, it is a public relations blessing. You can't say it any other way.
Why? This is exactly what I was talking about, Larry, making politics out of this disaster, okay?
And I'm not trying to benefit from it.
It's not necessarily trying to benefit. It's tearing the other guy down. But no matter what, people are going to politicize it, whether they want to or not.
Well, look, I'm not going to... No, I'm sorry. You cannot hang that around my neck. I am not saying that... I'm not making it political. I'm making a statement of fact. Deny, if you will, the fact. Deny this, if you will. And I dare anybody to deny that Obama hasn't benefited from having all of the news media following him around with that horseshoe he was born with crammed up his blankety blank. And
you know, I don't call it lucky. I don't call it lucky at all. If a guy's going to be elected president of the United States and he happens to get some TV time because people have died and there has been devastation, I don't call him lucky. I call him the president of a country that's had a terrible disaster hit it, and he's got to go out and he's got to fix things. It's his job.
Oh, okay, but why don't you call that lucky? The guy was born with a horseshoe up...
Will you knock it off with the horseshoe up the you-know-what?
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. You know what the HARP is? You know what HARP is?
The what?
HARP. H-A-R-P. It stands for a High Altitude Resonating Perpendicular something, I don't know. It's a specific, it stands for something specific. High altitude robot, I'll tell you what it is. It is something that the U.S. government has been developing where we can aim a ray or a beam into the atmosphere and manipulate the weather.
Oh, would you come on?
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. Why is it with guys like you, you always want to dismiss things?
I'm getting sick and tired of people trying to explain how it is that they are not winning, how their side isn't winning, how their philosophy isn't borne out, how their view of the world isn't borne out, and it must be because somebody's got some secret weapon somewhere.
Oh, brother, that's the biggest load of hooey. What, did you write that down, or did that just come right out of your mouth?
Hold on for a minute. Larry Grover with us. I'll let him talk. We'll talk to Larry in the next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the politicizing of the Sandy Storm. And let's not politicize it, whatever you do, but hey, what a lucky guy Obama is, huh? We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
He must have been born with a horseshoe.
Phil Hendry.